All right, so I hope through all the things that we've had this year that, you know that Jesus is always going to be there. Jesus is always going to be ready to work in and through our lives. You could say that one of the occupational hazards that I have of being a pastor in this church is that Sunday always comes, no matter whether I'm ready or not. It's always going to be here. Sunday is always on its way. And I expect the same way is for you and I with Christmas. Christmas always happens on the 25th of December, every year, whether we're ready or not. So are you ready for Christmas this year? Have you got prepared? Are you ready? Is the family all good to go? Do you need a little bit more time? Our house is a little bit different for Christmas. We have someone in our house has a significant birthday. Every year is a significant birthday, not just ones with zero on the end of them. And it was yesterday, and so I don't start thinking about Christmas until we get past that birthday. So now I can think about Christmas. So there's a lot of different things, obligations, duties, activities, observances, and traditions that we need to be a part of. In a time where often we're already frazzled, Christmas comes whether we're ready or not. Whether you've sent all the cards, whether you've put up the tree, whether you've wrapped the presents, whether you've put out the Christmas lights, whether you've done all the shopping, the 25th of December will be here on the 25th of December. Ready or not, it will be here. How about each and every day? Do you have time for Jesus each and every day? The Bible reading we're looking at is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. So if you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your tablets, and if your tablets are working better than mine is today, that would be good. Let's give it one more opportunity. Ah, there we go. Here we go. Reading from verse 1. In those days. Now, if you've got a different translation to me, it might be at that time. So the word days and time are very important because it was at a specific time in history. A specific time. You've got time? You've got time. There you go. Book of Luke. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to their own town. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family and the line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came. There it is again. The time came. You think God's making an impact here? There is a certain time and a place for this to take place. And this is it. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And this time came for her to give birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him tightly in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, in this reading, there's a whole bunch of important people. And you might have just glanced through that reading and going, oh, yeah, that's Caesar Augustus, that's him, and that's him, and that's this governor of Syria. And, you know, they're important people. But what do they have to do with this specific time? And what do they have to do with Jesus' birth? And why did Luke put them in there? Why is this important? Well, Octavius Caesar, we also know him as Augustus. Anyone know anything really quite significant about this guy, Augustus? He was very first emperor of Rome. Very good. I didn't know that until I did this prep. So well done. He was the very first emperor of Rome. Some of you are sitting there going, hold on a second. Julius Caesar was an emperor. No. He was, what's the correct terminology? He was a perpetual dictator. You know your stuff. Cool. You're keeping me honest. All right. So he was a perpetual dictator. And so what else do we know about Augustus? I just gave it away. I did. Gosh, the month comes about. See, he thought of himself quite highly, did this Caesar Augustus. And it was in the 42nd year of his reign when Jesus was born. So when people say to you, Jesus never existed, poppycock. He did. He was born in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Augustus, who was an amazing man. He did amazing things, and we all know about him. And if you don't believe me, if you're not born in August, well, there was another king at that time, Herod the Great, and we've got plenty of records about him. He was the king of Judea, but he was a bit of a puppet from Rome. It was also the custom at this time that the Romans took particular account of numbers and qualities of all persons inhabiting in their jurisdiction. Why do you think they wanted to do that? Taxes. Oh, very good. You guys aren't cynics at all, are you? There's a government. Of course there's taxes. Well, how do we get our money? If we know there's 1,000, we should be getting 100 bucks. If we know there's 10,000, we should be getting 1,000 bucks. We've only got 500. Hold on a sec. Let's count them again. You know, so this is all about government, politics, and money. So much is about money. Then the next guy, Quirinius or Cyrenius, depending on your translation, he was governor of Syria. Now, if you go into some delving about this, there's a great bun fight about whether he was in fact the governor of Syria or not. Because at the very beginning when Jesus was born, the chance is that he was a commissioner of Syria. He hadn't yet made it to governor status. But let me ask you this question for those who love their history. A guy sailed a boat up the east coast of Australia. Wasn't called Australia then. Not sure what it was called back then. Anyway, he found a couple of places and called it Botany Bay and 1770 and Cooktown. Anyone know his name? What was it? Harry? Who said that? Lieutenant Cook? He was Lieutenant Cook. But how many of us know him as Captain Cook? We all know him as Captain Cook. We don't know him as Lieutenant Cook. And sometimes when you read the history books, he goes, Lieutenant Cook? Who's that? I know Captain Cook. But that's what he was when he went past the first time. Lieutenant Cook. And yet history records him as Captain Cook. And we know him as Captain Cook. Same as Quirinius or Cyrenius. He was probably commissioner at this time, but he became governor later on. And Luke records him as governor because probably when Luke wrote this, guess what? He was governor, or known as the governor. So this is all historical documented proof of a time and a place that Jesus was born. It's significant. And then the next part of the story goes on with some other main actors. Joseph, from Nazareth in Galilee, a carpenter or stonemason, builder, in the house of David. Therefore he came to Bethlehem, which is where he needed to go. Now here's something from one of the commentary. It's an old commentary, and it says this. He yieldeth obedience to the civil magistrates. He yieldeth obedience. In other words, I'm not sure whether Joseph was real keen on going on this journey with a pregnant lady. Whether they had a donkey or not, we're not sure. Donkey was pretty rich to have a donkey. Long journey. I think it might have been a bit warm during the day. If I have the chance to go to the shops by walking or by my air-conditioned car, guess what I take? The air-conditioned car. Joseph might have been kicking a little bit on the way, do you think? Do you think they might have had a bit of a journey on the way? Do you think he might have gone, why am we doing this? These Romans with their taxes, these oppressors who come into my country. I mean, where he was up in Nazareth and Galilee, the Romans flexed their muscles quite regularly up there because for whatever reason up in Galilee, guess what? There was a lot of people that shouted, Viva la Revolution! And whenever they did that, the Romans came and went, squash. And if you know your history, they didn't just go lockdown till Wednesday. They went annihilation. And the reason why Joseph had some constant work out of Nazareth was the Romans went through just about 20 kilometres north and annihilated this place, and they had to rebuild the whole town. So here we are. They're travelling. They're on their way. But you know what's significant? They get there and the records are done. So who's in the record book? Count them with me. Joseph, in the book. Mary, because Romans counted women as well. Mary's in the book. And guess who else? Jesus. They counted the kids as well. So Jesus, the Son of God, God come down to earth, the God-man, he's in the book recorded as being born at this time. There you go. Significant. So here we go. Judah, tribe of Judah, family of David. These were all parts of who Joseph is and also who Mary is. So this attendance was incredible. Now, I don't know about you, but family name is significant in the Bible. Joseph was a part of a big family. And as I shared last week, family is important to God. Our heritage, our history is important to God. Joseph was a significant member of this tribe, the family of David. You see, I have different names. If you know me in different places, you'll know I have different names. My wife calls me Honey. All right? No one else calls me Honey. If you call me Honey, I'm going to look at you funny. She also has another name for me, but they're not quite appropriate in this service. Some of you call me Donnie. Some of you call me Pastor. A few times this week and last week, some of you sent me Christmas cards with Reverend on the front of it. That's very nice, thank you. The fat boys call me Duck. It's my nickname. Or Noodle, which is my other nickname, because I'm Pastor Noodle. It's, don't worry about it. But we all have these different names which help us to belong. At the surf club, they often call me Chappie because they see that as my role. So name is important. Family is important. In the middle of all this, there's all these pieces in play, aren't there? Do you see the pieces in play? All these different people, they're all named. Last week we learnt about who? Elizabeth and Zechariah, an older couple who couldn't have kids. They're all part of the puzzle. It's like a chess set. Every part of the chess set is important. You can't play chess with just the king and queen. Many a person has lost a game of chess when the little fellas have been blocking the way. Or a bishop has come through or a knight has come through. And the same is in this story. Every single person has a part to play. And they're all significant. And today, we have a part to play in the telling of this amazing story. For God had a plan. It was at this time, and it was at this place. And it was in the middle of a whole bunch of turmoil, like 2020 has been in a month of turmoil. I mean, we think this year's been really bad. I mean, think about Joseph and Mary. They're living in an occupied country. The Romans didn't live there. They occupied the land. And they did what they wanted to do. So when Jesus comes along, he tells them a whole bunch of stuff that they should do to the Roman soldiers. We go on with the story and we read that the firstborn son was born. Now, I just have read that for years. Yes, the firstborn son. Of course, Jesus was the firstborn son. But what else does the firstborn son mean? It means there's other kids. He was the firstborn son. I am the firstborn son from my mum. I've got two other brothers. They're the second son and the third son. So Luke's writing this and he's giving us these important records of letting us see the picture and the family and the gospel in its presentation. Now, swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. You've heard that before? How many people know what swaddling clothes is? Is this a significant thing? Is this a special thing for Jesus? Guess what? You're exactly right. It's not. It is not. 96%, and I've just made up that statistic, of babies born to Jewish mums were wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was what they did in the day. It wasn't a set piece of clothing. Like, I had a friend visit my mum's place, and my mum took photos of me as a little boy, baby boy, sitting, first time I was sitting up, and I'm wearing one of these gowns. What are you laughing for, Rosie? And my mate goes, you didn't tell me you had a sister? I didn't. That's me. That's a pretty dress you're wearing, mate. It's not a dress. It's Mom, why'd you dress me in a dress for? What are you doing? These are swaddling clothes. They weren't a dress or anything or a pantsuit. They were bits of cloth. And they were wrapped around to keep the baby safe, warm, and dry. It was a practical thing. It wasn't a special thing. So when you sing Away in a Manger, she was just doing what a good mum does. And actually ties into Ezekiel 16:4 if you want to do some cross-referencing. It's also a part of a poor family because you didn't have extra money to go out and buy new clothes for the baby. You used what you had. You see, Jesus, when he was born, was not born into a princely estate. He was not cradled in some palace with no rich friends. But what he did have was virtuous and good parents who gave more value to their child than riches alone. And in this, we have been able to see that there is an honour towards the poor. For happy is a child that his parents be rich or poor, but he have good parents. And there's no matter whether we come from wealth and we have fine clothes, as in splendid in other places, but if we come in and we are raised to know this Jesus, we are raised to understand who this Jesus is. And I look around today and many of us had that privilege of being raised by godly parents who taught us about Jesus. Some of us have come to faith in other ways. But there is an incredible role for parents and grandparents into the lives of their kids and their grandkids. Because today is the day that we have. Today is the day we get to share into people's lives. Yesterday's gone. I can tell you stories about the mental health ward, but it's gone. That opportunity's gone. You can't come up to me and say, okay, Donnie, I want to do that. No, it's done. It's gone. If we go next year, you can jump on board, but who knows what's going to happen next year. Today is the day where you get to minister into people's lives. Today is the day where you get to do stuff. Through one of the Mainly Music mums, at 1 o'clock today, I'm going to do an infant dedication at their home with their family and their friends. Today is the day I get to speak into those family and friends about the goodness of Jesus to this little baby who's 1 year old today or yesterday. So what about you? The time is upon us. It's been a challenging year. And if you're like me, you can be a bit grumbly at this moment. It has been mentioned to me that I'm becoming a grumpy old man. Or do we focus on Jesus and the significance of what he can do at this time and at this place, in and through us, who are prepared to give him the time to work through us? Part of the reason why Jesus was born where he was because there was no room in the inn. There was no room in the place that you could go when you went to Bethlehem. It was full. Everyone was there doing what the Romans had told them to do. But in the midst of this, something significant still took place. Today, don't let our lives be too full that we miss out on the significance of what Jesus wants to do. It may be just next door. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this section of your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for all those historical men who we can trace back and we know stuff about. And this was a time and a place of your birth, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. Lord, may we take hold of this story. The significance of God entering time and space here on this planet, that we might know love, grace, forgiveness, that we might know this God who created all that there is, that we might know this God who wants to empower us and enable us to take this story to our neighbours, to our family, and to our friends. Oh, Lord Jesus, work in and through us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.